This copyrighted audio file from the writings of David S. Lample is offered free of charge to the glory of God the Father and the praise of Jesus Christ our Lord. Detailed copyright and resource information is included at the end of this file.
Last Things, Session 8, The Tribulation and Introduction, Part 1. Originally published March 27, 2022. And the accompanying chart for this is Daniel's 70 Weeks. Invariably, there's a moment in any study. It came in our studies of Hebrews, of Thessalonians, and really showed up in 1 Corinthians 7. In any study, there comes a moment when one is almost sorry one has decided to tackle the study. The text is so challenging, so troublesome, so fraught with peril, that all one can do, short of running, screaming into the night, is gulp twice, pray really hard, take a deep breath, and forge ahead. We are now at that point in this study of the last things. The tribulation portion of the eschaton is, without question, the most troublesome, most controversial, most argued and debated portion. The tribulation occupies the lion's share of the book of Revelation. Out of the book's 22 chapters, 16 of those chapters deal with events in or immediately surrounding the tribulation, while the 1,000-year millennium is addressed in less than 4 verses. Any deep study of the tribulation produces much, well, tribulation. Reiterating what I said in our first session, one of the more troublesome aspects of this is that highly respected, knowledgeable, wise, spirit-filled Christian scholars disagree with each other, especially regarding the portions of Scripture that pertain, or some insist do not pertain, to the eschatological environment. While many commentators and biblical scholars are in agreement with this church's position, many commentators I have repeatedly used for other studies embrace a different position regarding the tribulation, or, more often the case, disagree on some of the details. Add to all this the contemporary, non-scholarly ideas based more on headlines than textual analysis, and one can soon regret opening such a can of worms. Yet, there can also be tremendous joy of discovery in such an enterprise. My prayer is that you have already experienced some of that joy, or will in due course. Before we begin examining what takes place during the tribulation, we need to lay the groundwork for understanding it as a whole. We need to look at the forest before we examine every individual tree. In this session, we'll begin our examination of Daniel's 70 weeks, in broader terms. Then in our next two sessions, we will carefully step through the Daniel prophecy with the accompanying chart as our guide. In both sessions, we will use this chart number 7, so be sure to use it during our next session. If you are downloading these notes or listening to this audio file online, then you'll find the chart as the last page of the notes for this session. We first need to establish that the tribulation is all about Israel. As Oliver Green puts it in his book, Bible Prophecy, 1970, quote, "The Great Tribulation has nothing to do with the church. The scriptures which describe the Great Tribulation speak of Israel, or Jacob, and the church is not once named, which of course makes perfect sense since the church has just been removed from the earth." For example, in Jeremiah 30, verses 6 to 7. The tribulation is called, quote, the time of Jacob's trouble, end quote, or Jacob's distress. In Ezekiel 22, which we'll read, go ahead and turn to Ezekiel chapter 22. In verses 18 to 22, we note that it is Israel, not the church, that will be cast into God's melting pot to be melted and refined in the fires of God's wrath. So Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning with verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me. All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead in the furnace. They are the dross of silver. Therefore, says the Lord God, because all of you have become dross, therefore, behold, I am going to gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. As they gather silver and bronze and iron and lead and tin into the furnace to blow fire on it in order to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my wrath, and I will lay you there and melt you. I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you will be melted in the midst of it. As silver is melted in the furnace, so you will be melted in the midst of it. And you will know that I, the Lord, have poured out my wrath on you. Finally, in Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, it is Israel who go through the fire for purification. And again in Zechariah 13:9, it is God's people, Israel, who will pass through the fire to be refined as silver and gold are refined. That's Oliver Green. Thus, immediately after the rapture, there will be no Christians, only unbelieving Gentiles and Jews who have rejected Jesus as their long-awaited Messiah. Over the next 7 years, that will change. While some will have their hatred for Christ deepen, others will turn to embrace him, and many Jews will place their faith in him as the true Messiah. A great number of them will be not just persecuted, but killed. Now, we need to examine Daniel's 70 years. This week, we'll look at it in general terms, substantiated in general terms. Then in our next two sessions, we will examine it carefully, examine the passage word by word. Now, where do we get the idea of 7 years, or two halves of 3 1/2 years, for the span of the tribulation? For that, we need to begin with the prophecies given to Daniel. Please turn to Daniel 9. Now, while you're looking for that, let me just note here. In addition to the Revelation, chapters 5 to 20, principal sources for the tribulation include Daniel, chapters 7 to 12, Christ's eschatological or Olivet discourse, found in Matthew 24 to 25, verse 46, Mark 13, verses 1 to 37, and Luke 21, verses 5 to 36. Most of what we believe to substantiate our position comes from harmonizing these and other passages from God's Word. So let's read our primary source here, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people in your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then, After the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. This is the foundational passage for both Daniel's 70 weeks and Daniel's 70th week. In upcoming sessions, we'll be digging into the details of the events of which the angel Gabriel speaks. For now, we want to just note the numbers. Follow along with the chart. Verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed. Verse 25, from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That is, a total of 69 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Verse 26, then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. Verse 27, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. All our common versions except for the NIVs translate this weeks. The NIVs supply the meaning behind it, units of seven. And this is to be understood, especially in evangelical dispensational circles, as 490 years. 70 times 7 is 490. But how do we get from weeks or units of 7 to years? Well, as well you might ask. Keep your finger here as we turn to Leviticus chapter 25. We'll be right back here. But we get the basis for this in Leviticus 25:8, which reads, you are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, so that you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. And depending on your version, the key word is translated either Sabbaths or weeks. But the connection is clearly drawn here for using weeks to stand for 7 years. The word works, like the NIV tells us, means units of 7. So to wrap it back to verse 27 in Daniel's prophecy, where we see the events of the tribulation in shorthand, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, that's 7 years, but in the middle of the week, that is, after the first 3.5 years, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, etc. And once again, ours is a dispensational position. Some see Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy being fulfilled in its entirety by historical events that culminated in the events of AD 70, when Rome destroyed the Jerusalem temple and the city. Some assign the activity of the horn, that is, the beast, Antichrist, to a Roman Catholic papal power. Many biblical scholars see this prophecy fulfilled in the brutal subjugation of Jerusalem by the Syrian king Antiochus IV, who came to power around 170 BC. He's commonly referred to as Antiochus Epiphanes. Epiphanes, which means God manifest. Antiochus claimed to be Zeus incarnate. So let me read from an article from the Venerable Biblical Archaeology Society. Antiochus arrived in Jerusalem to find the people in an open state of revolt against him and each other. The chaos he found in Judea immediately followed a humiliating defeat in Egypt, and the ruler took out his frustrations on the Jewish people. Antiochus took control of the situation by slaying many innocents and brutally enforcing his culture and religious policies on the population. A time of great tribulation occurred as traditional practices, such as circumcision, were outlawed, sacred scriptures were burned, and violators were brutally punished, even unto death. Having already laid siege to the Temple Mount and destroying many of its fortifications, Antiochus built a new fortress known as the Acra, literally the citadel, to consolidate his power over Jerusalem and strengthen his political agents. As a culmination, he proceeded to profane the temple of Yahweh by erecting idols within it and even going so far as to sacrifice pigs upon the altar, presumably to Zeus. That's from the Biblical Archaeology Society. Antiochus does indeed fulfill much of the description and prophecies regarding Antichrist. Dispensationalists would say that he was an historical type of Antichrist, not the ultimate fulfillment of the prophecy, but a now not yet foreshadowing of Antichrist. Just as Melchizedek, for one example, was a type of Jesus the Christ. There are two more ways in which the duration of the tribulation, or portions thereof, are described. Back to Daniel, this time chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Let's read verse 25. He will speak out against the Most High, and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. And they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. The he in verse 25 is the beast, Antichrist. The time, times, and half a time represent 1 year plus 2 years plus half a year. That is 3.5 years. That's the last half of the 7-year tribulation, the Great Tribulation. Halves of the 7-year tribulation are also described as 1,260 days, Revelation 11:13 and 12:6, and 42 months, Revelation 11:2. As the accompanying chart shows, Daniel's 70 weeks begins in 457 B.C., so those who are better than me at math might have already deduced that we have a bit of a problem here. If Daniel's 70th week is yet future, and it is, well, that would obviously be more than just a tad beyond 490 years from 457 BC. The dispensational position on this is that the church, and hence the dispensation of grace, the church age, a period of indeterminate length, was not revealed to Daniel. This creates a gap, or indeterminate interlude, between week 69 and week 70 of Daniel's 70 weeks. The math works when that gap lying between Christ's baptism and the tribulation is removed. Now, admittedly, eyebrows may indeed rise over the formidable gap or interlude in the 70 weeks that so far has lasted better than 2,000 years. And that may appear all too convenient. J.C.J. Waite, in the New Bible Dictionary, points out that, quote, such prophetic gaps are not uncommon in the Old Testament, end quote. Then he cites the example of Isaiah 61:2. This is interesting. Part of the passage Jesus read in the Nazareth synagogue when he presented himself as the fulfillment of that prophecy. Here's what Jesus read as recorded in Luke 4, verses 18 to 19. Quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now in the synagogue, Jesus did not read. He stopped before he got to the next line in the original Isaiah passage. In verse 2, in Isaiah 61, it reads, "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, comma, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Jesus said that he was there to fulfill the year of the Lord's favor, which included his vengeance. Yet Jesus did not implement that vengeance during his first time on earth, but most certainly will in his second, which will occur, at last count, at least 2,000 years after he declared that prophecy fulfilled in him. We'll have more on this interlude or gap in our next two sessions. For now, let me close with the following. First, how literal is the timeline? Much ink has been spilled and many trees have gone to their doom over the last 2,000 years to rationalize the math of the various eschatological positions. Generally speaking, the dispensational position is to interpret God's word literally. If it says 7 years, then we take it to mean just that. If it says that Christ will reign on earth and Satan to be chained in the abyss for 1,000 years, then we take it to mean what it says. 1,000 years. Critics raise their voices especially when years switch to months or days, for it's true that calendars change. In ancient times, a year was not always, nor everywhere, 365 days. Sometimes a year was 12 30-day months. At times, 5 days were tacked on at the end to balance it out. At times, not. Leap years? Nope. My personal position is this. While I interpret the lengths to be literal, I also know that it's too easy to pinpoint an event on a chart, and an event that might take quite a while to run its course from beginning to end. We can quite accurately pinpoint, but of course not date, the rapture, because Paul tells us it occurs in the blink of an eye. Just so, it's easy to draw an arrow to a point in the timeline to mark the occurrence of the Great White Throne. But no one on earth can say how long that judgment process will take. Will time itself grind to a halt during that event? Or will it keep moving? So, speaking personally, my devotion to God's inerrant word is not going to be compromised if some of these sharp edges are rounded off, or if one period spills over into the next. Or, a more probable circumstance, the various event groupings that we so neatly arrange on our charts do not always immediately follow one another. That is, there may be interludes scattered about between, say, the rapture and the beginning of the tribulation, or between the tribulation and the millennium. As to the dates that you see on the chart for this session, the data for the accompanying chart has not been copied from any one source, but reflects my conclusions after consulting many sources. The commonly used events and dates cited for the beginning and midpoints of the 70 weeks are, in the opinion of many, in error. In preparation for this study of the last things, I've referenced primarily two older chart series. The most recent, published in 1970 by evangelist Buell L. Liming, and the better of the two, to the charts published by Clarence Larkin in 1919. I've consulted respective commentaries, not least Gleason L. Archer's on the Book of Daniel. Archer was the highly respected professor of Old Testament and Semitic languages at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. I've also referenced my own legwork from an earlier study on Ezra and Nehemiah, 2014. Finally, because the process involved math, Linda was brought in to supervise and check the calculations. For in that regard, I cannot be trusted. After sifting through all the various schemes for Daniel's 70 weeks, the events and dates on this chart, I believe, track the best. In our next two sessions, we will return to Daniel 9 and examine in detail that key passage. Be sure to have on hand this chart, number 7, for those two studies.
Thank you for using our Bible study resources. This has been the audio version of our weekly printed session notes. It is copyright 2022 by David S. Lample, but is offered free of charge and may be freely shared. All printed and audio notes are available in the Bible study section of our website at dlample.com. This website also includes our monthly devotional, Reflections by the Pond, as well as archives of our devotional publications from the last 30 years. Unless otherwise indicated, scripture in this audio file is from the New American Standard Bible, updated edition, copyright Lachman Foundation. Greek and Hebrew citations and definitions are from Strong's Greek and Hebrew Dictionary and the NASB Greek Hebrew Dictionary. All resources at our website are offered free of charge in acknowledgement of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For more information about who we are, please visit the About Us page at our website.